Let's pray. Lord, as we've sung these words, we recall the context in which they were written. A believer having committed terrible sin that was public and known to all, but a believer having sinned and come to you, asking for your forgiveness and receiving cleansing from you, and not ending there, but then rising up in praise and in prayer with confidence that this sin and your forgiveness will be used to draw other sinners to yourself. And so that's our story, Lord. We have sinned, but we are confident that through the work of Jesus Christ, you have cleansed us from all unrighteousness, and that you will use the testimony that we can give about our sin and our cleansing to draw other sinners to you for reconciliation to you. And so we come with this weird combination of our public shame and our public exoneration in Christ, wanting to tell that to other people and to invite them in to know you through it. Be with us as we pray and support the work of publishing this good news, as we pray for those that are in need and those that are suffering. Be in our midst, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our brief time in the Word tonight comes from Mark 6, and I'm going to take a peek at one of the verses from this Sunday morning's passage. I'm going to look at Mark 6, verse 17. I'll read it in just a bit. Just to set a little bit of the context, Mark chapter 6 tells us about the death of a holy man. It's John the Baptizer, his death. And when you read the account, it is not pretty, and it does not feel noble, and it doesn't feel like good is triumphing. The story in that whole passage involves sexual immorality, a bitter wife, political ambition, impulsive decisions that are made at a party, and at the end of it, the godly prophet John dies. He dies at the hands of selfish, fleshly politicians who are just, as far as we can tell, they're just acting out personal melodrama. It doesn't feel like it ends well. It doesn't feel like things have gone right. And so if you study the life of John the Baptizer, and you take the information that we have in Scripture, there are maybe four parts to his life that we're told about in Scripture. We're told about his birth. We're told about his ministry. We're told about his imprisonment. And we're told about his death. So only four parts of his life. This passage in Mark 6 tells us about his death. It tells us a little bit about his imprisonment. And I want to focus on verse 17. So Mark 6, verse 17. And I'll read that now. Says there, "For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her." So let me just walk through a few questions about this verse. First of all, first question, why is John in prison? Why is he locked up? John is in prison, it says, because of Herod's wife, because of Herodias. John is unfairly in the situation that he's in. It's not fair that John is in prison. And the sense from this passage is Herod would not have imprisoned John except for his wife, Herodias, except that she hated John. She has a grudge. Mark 6:19, a few verses later, it says, "Herodias holds a grudge against John, and that's why John is in prison." It's not fair. It's not right. That's why he's in prison. Now, next question. How is John doing with this? How is John doing in prison? What we know is this. John is struggling. John's not doing well. Other gospel accounts tell us that John's faith is low. John once boldly baptized the Son of God. He baptized Jesus Christ. John once boldly preached Jesus to crowds of people. He would preach saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." It's Jesus. It's Jesus. Now he's stuck in this dungeon unfairly, and he's wondering if he was wrong. John's wondering, is Jesus the Christ, or is it someone else that we're to be looking for? John is not doing well in prison. Third question, where is God in this imprisonment? Where is God in this? We have a lot of details in this passage about John's imprisonment. When you read this passage, you hear a lot of details about Herod, about Herodias, about her dancing daughter, about the fleshly partying, the boastful promises that get made at a Roman leader's party, his anniversary celebration, his birthday celebration. And when you hear all of these backstage conversations that lead to John's death, it seems like God's not in the picture. It seems like the world is being run by a bunch of low-class middle schoolers. Where is God? Where is God in the imprisonment and the death of John? God seems absent in this picture. And so the last question, why is John in prison? Back to the first question, why is John in prison? Why is John's great ministry over? This is the end. Why is it over? And why did it have to go through this imprisonment before his death? Well, in Mark 1, if you remember the beginning of the book, it says that John was a preaching success. Life was going well. Ministry was going well. Crowds of people were coming to him. He had freedom. He was using his freedom. He was declaring Christ in all the land throughout Judea, all of Jerusalem. People were flocking to him. They were confessing sin. They were being baptized in mass baptisms. And once, maybe this was the highlight it felt like to John's career, once at one of John's meetings, God showed up, an audible voice. God spoke aloud from heaven. And at one of John's meetings, the heavens opened up and the Holy Spirit came down and appeared in one of John's meetings. And at one of John's meetings, the Son of God was declared. And in that one of these meetings of John the Baptizer, we have the most visible representation of the Trinity, all three persons. This is one of the central proof texts that you will find in every systematic theology defending the doctrine of the Trinity. John's ministry is the context for it. And is this how it ends? John in prison, pointlessly shut up. He's despairing. His faith is now low. Why is he in prison? Why has God pulled back from John? Well, the answer we find, at least in part, is in Mark 1, verse 14. Mark 1:14 gives us the answer. It says, "Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" Why was John in prison? John was in prison so that Christ could appear and the gospel could be preached. The timing and the event of John's imprisonment was so that Christ could appear in a fullness, in a nearness, in a broad presence that would not happen if John were not in prison. John had to be imprisoned so that Christ could increase and John could decrease. So the question for you is this. Are you in a prison now? Are you despairing about a situation that seems pointless, that seems hopeless, that seems unchanging, where God seems to be absent? Here's your challenge. Same challenge that John faced. Trust that Jesus is the Christ. Expect God to lift up Christ through your time of darkness. Could it be that you had to be locked up so that Christ could be lifted up? Amen.